take our time off by singing together. We use these songs to talk to God, to tell him that we want him in our journey, that these are the things that we believe, that we want to believe more strongly. And if this is your first time here, I just want to say thanks for being here. You're in the right place. We made this place for you to come pursue God and find out what he might have to do with your life. So I invite you to sing these songs with us. I'm going to teach you this chorus. It goes like this.
Yeah.
A lot of folks in this room, you know, I wear these glasses because my eyes don't work just right. You know, without them, things are distorted. And I find that life distorts the way that I see God. And so we ask these three simple questions to help us maybe change the lenses through which we see him. So I encourage you, as we sing this song, to maybe allow God to spark something in your heart or in your mind that hinders the way that you see him. It could be your relationship with your earthly father is really broken, so that's the way that you see God. It could be struggle with authority, and so that affects the way that you see God. But what we see in Scripture is He is a good shepherd. He delights in taking care of His sheep, and that's what we are. So let's sing this song together, all right? Yeah.
Forever.
it all. You were worthy of it all. You were worthy of it all. For from you are all things. For from you are all things. And to you are all things. And you deserve the glory. God, I thank you. Good Father, that you meet us when we come looking for you. And I ask that you would see our steps into this place as prayers of wanting to meet you in a new way, in a deeper way. Thanks. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for worshiping with us. It's so good to get to worship with you guys. Hey, do me a quick favor. I want you to introduce yourself to somebody that you don't already know. And say hi and see if you can get a phone number. You guys get some digits? Totally kidding, unless it worked. Hey, we're wrapping up the series called Business of Success, and every week in the series, we've found an expert in the field of business, and we've asked them to come give us 5 minutes of their wisdom and so that we can hit tomorrow morning, we can hit Monday morning with just some new tools on our belt. And I'm really excited to get to introduce a woman from our community. She's been a part of our community for 3 or 4 years. She is a recent... what do you call it when you... I'm totally blanking on the word.
Retiree,
thank you. Recent retiree exec from P&G, and she is an expert in leadership. Would you please put your hands together for Beverly Grant?
So, leadership. It's that magical word that everyone wants associated with his or her name. As I look back to when I first started my career, for me as a young leader, it became fairly simple figuring out what I wanted to stand for within the organization. 3 things: help people, have fun, and not screw up. As my career evolved, and I reached a point where I was managing over $8 billion in sales, a budget of $120 million, and hundreds of people, my description of my leadership style became a lot more wordy and corporate appropriate. However, my purpose and the way I went about pursuing my leadership style remained fairly simple and the same. Energize and enable folks to get things done. Have fun with a capital F. And don't mess up in the process. Now, along the way, I read most of the leadership books and articles, and also learned a lot of the buzzwords. I did those things because as leaders, most of us want to be known for something. We want to stand out. As I reflect back over my career as a leader, there were 2 things that I now know were the most powerful leadership traits of the 10 I finally adopted. The first was active listening, and the second, consistency. First, active listening. To be an active listener requires listening to understand and not to respond. Why this one? I discovered that active listening builds both understanding of the opportunity being discussed and the person you're discussing the opportunity with. Additionally, active listening builds empathy. Empathy builds stronger relationships, and stronger relationships inspire trust. A quick example of that. I set specific goals with my leadership team to really get to know each member, their spouse, and their family. I had an employee that was on their second tour of duty in my organization. I never quite figured out why they called it a tour of duty, but they were having a personal crisis. Now, as I looked back, if I had not actively listened to the spouse and heard their family stories, I would have not been in a place to quickly identify that something was going on, because it was the spouse that actually invited me into the family to help solve the crisis, not the employee. The second is consistency is critical to success. Why even have something so obvious on a short list of leadership traits? I cannot count the number of people I've known over the years who were almost always unintentionally inconsistent in their approaches to leadership. Inconsistency breeds confusion and undermines confidence in the organization. Consistency, on the other hand, from my experience, demonstrates integrity, and integrity builds trust. A quick example. Whenever I am boarded with a new boss, I always wanted to share my story and my family's story so that they would get to know me, and I would ask them to do the same thing. Why do something? Those shared experiences, understanding what drove each other, put us in a position so that if anything inconsistent came up, we could quickly discuss it, have a candid conversation, and work out some amenable solutions. I simply adopted this, Matthew 5:37. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So as I wrap this up, I have two questions that I would like for you to suggest that you ponder as you develop, refine, or review your leadership style. How can I actively listen and be in the moment with the person who is right in front of me? And then second, am I consistent in my approach to leadership? Are my teammates experiencing me in the way I intend for them to see and experience me? I found that it's easiest to be an active listener and consistent in your approach when things are going fairly well and the organization is aligned. However, it's a lot tougher, but no less important, and I actually think it's more important, to be an active listener and consistent in your approach in the face of challenges, uncertainty, and confusion. Was I a perfect leader or the greatest leader? Absolutely not. However, I found that having these guiding principles to keep me others focused sure did help out a lot.
I'm going to be leading us on an adventure. It's called Real Encounters with God. I want you in this series to feel Him very, very intimately and closely.
It answered my questions. Yeah. I feel the closeness and the comfort of God within. And you want comforted. It's part of the human condition.
It just made me realize the magnitude of what He's capable of. And I felt more cared for and more loved than I ever had.
But you need to know right now, God wants you to have your thirst quenched.
Being this guy, being in the streets, it was like, I'm hard. You're not supposed to show any sign of weakness. You know, I felt that sense of peace, that sense of freedom.
But we need God's transforming power.
Through all the adversity that I've been through, not knowing that He was there the whole time, I mean, it's just mind-blowing.
We need to have a real encounter with God, just like they have had a real encounter with God.
I am incredibly excited about this next series, Real Encounters. You are not going to want to miss it. We have put crazy amounts of planning, months of investment into this. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. I'm Matt. If we haven't met, I'm the campus pastor of Crossroads Anywhere. I want to take a couple of minutes here, a little bit of extra time to give you sort of a behind-the-scenes look about this next series so you're ready, you can get the most out of it, you can include the most people in your life. This is going to be a really, really big deal. Every week of Real Encounters, we're going to look at a different event, a new story in the Bible that took place in a very real place. A location that we have actually gone to, and we've gotten in the dirt in these places, and we've tried to get in the shoes of the people in these stories who had these crazy real encounters with God, these tangible experiences that totally changed their life, where God showed up in a massively real way. And we're gonna talk about how those things happen and what impact they had on our life. And we've interviewed people in our community, people who, you know, you could rub shoulders with at the grocery store, or you work with, people like you and me, real people who have had similar encounters with God, as crazy as it sounds, where they've felt God in such a real way that it's totally changed their life. It was an incredibly refreshing experience for them, an inspirational experience to them, a challenging experience to them. And I don't know if you've ever wanted to feel God. I don't know if you've ever wanted to have one of these experiences. All throughout this series, we're not just going to learn about the Bible stories. We're not just going to learn about other people's real encounters with God. We're going to learn how to have our own real encounters with God ourselves. And it's going to be an incredible time. You're not going to want to miss a single one of these weekends. And I also wonder who should be with you. Who in your life just feels dry? Who in your life do you need to attend these weekends with? Do you need to watch them together? Who in your life do you need to send these videos, these links to, and meet up with them at a later time to have coffee, talk about what they saw, what they experienced, what they're hearing? This is going to be a crazy, crazy time. We're going to see through this series people's lives totally change. God interact with people in a way that they've never interacted with before. Friendships form because people like you and me were willing to reach out to people in our life who we thought this would be an incredible series for. And let me tell you, if you're going to pick one time in the whole year to do this, this is the time to do it. And so we want to do all of that together. The reality, I don't know how you feel where you are, is just, you know, everyone just sort of seems dry. Like, that's sort of the best word. It's sort of disappointed or bummed out or just like settling. It's really confusing time in our culture. This is going to be a time of incredible refreshing. And in fact, the first week, so this next weekend where we kick off Real Encounters, we're going to have a really tangible experience. And so a little teaser of this is, if you want to be as ready as possible next weekend, you need both water and crackers in your house. I know that sounds crazy, but we're doing some crazy new things in this series that you're not going to want to miss. And if you have water and crackers in your house, you're going to be able to have an experience that is going to be exceptionally tangible and really, really cool. I've probably told you too much already, but again, not going to want to miss this at all. In a couple of weeks, as a part of this series, we're going to see some people take some crazy steps and have a real encounter with God through baptism, which is going to be really awesome. We're going to celebrate baptism in November. Baptism for people who follow Jesus for hundreds of years has been this time where we get to publicly tell everyone that we're going to follow Jesus with our whole life, no matter what the cost. It's an awesome, awesome party. Around here, it's truly a party. It's a celebration. We go crazy about it. I can remember when I was baptized. I actually got baptized in an ocean. So truth be told, you don't have to be baptized in a church building. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know where you are, but wherever you are, we can baptize you right there. So this is going to be an incredible thing for our Crossroads Anywhere community, because I think there's a lot of us who feel like now is the time where we should make that decision, that declaration, and be baptized. Or you might be out there and you might be thinking, that sounds interesting. I would need more. I want to know more about that. I have some questions. You can go to crossroads.net/baptism. There's an awesome FAQ sheet out there. You can sign up to be baptized. You can get answers to your questions there. And here's the deal. For all of us who want to be baptized, no matter where we live, what we'll do is get in touch and we'll figure out all the logistics. We'll walk us through the process and we're all going to celebrate baptism together in November. And it's going to be an incredible story we're going to get to tell and celebration we're going to get to share together. This whole team that we have, I don't know if you realize this, but every weekend there's thousands of us who are gathered together and attending the weekend together from all over the country and the world. And we want to be able to connect that team together as best as possible. We want to be able to serve you as best as possible. And to do that, we want to know more about you. I don't know if you know, that's kind of how good relationships and teams work. And if we were together in the same room right now, we'd shake hands, we'd trade stories, we'd get to know each other. And so our sort of first step in that direction is, I'd love for you to take a survey for us. If you go to crossroads.net/anywhere survey, we want everybody to do this survey. This is going to let us get to know our team and going to let us serve you better. This is a survey. You already know all the answers to this. This just tells us sort of who you are, where you've come from, what your experiences have been. And it's going to give you a chance to get kind of on the grid and come on the radar and be a part of the team. And it's going to let us improve all of the experiences we have to offer you and come up with new products and experiences that are going to help you connect with God and connect with other people. We're going to continue right now in our series, Business of Success, and we have an opportunity to hear from an amazing woman, Kathy Beecham. Before we do that, we're going to have a time to be generous. This is a weekly rhythm that we have around here. There's a team of people who fund all of the experiences that let us connect with God, that let us connect with each other, all the tools that we build, all the websites, the apps, the content, everything is funded by this team of people. If you want to be a part of this team of people and be generous along with us, you can go to crossroads.net/give. You can sign up to be sort of a regular funder. That's what my wife Leah and I do. We give every week to these things. We feel we're like deeply impacted and called and excited to be a part of that. You can do a one-time gift as well. It's really easy from that place. So if you're brand new, if you're just checking us out, this isn't a thing that you should feel obligated to do at all. We're just really glad you're here. We hope that you're refreshed by this experience this weekend. You're welcome to give, but there's absolutely no pressure to that as you get to know us. As we sort of give and go to that website, we're gonna have a chance to learn some tips of success from some people who have lived it out. And so we're gonna take a look at that. We're glad you're here.
I think the key to success is gonna be highly personal to whoever you ask that question of, right? I think there are gonna be a million different answers. I mean, for me, I wanna create fiercely, I wanna love well, and I wanna die empty.
The key to success for me is perseverance. And you're gonna get 100 no's, you're gonna have 100 people telling you that you suck and your idea is a terrible idea.
I have seen people who aren't the most talented, who aren't the most gifted or the most charismatic, but they are the most determined. They don't give up, and when they give up, they get back on again, and they stay there. I think sometimes success is the last person standing.
I think the key to success is taking whatever God has given you and wrenching and squeezing every ounce of productivity, every ounce of impact out of that.
For me, my success comes from God. When I focus on Him first, I find out that I do find Him, and I find success in the other things of this world as well.
I have a prayer that I pray, God, whatever you are asking, the answer is yes. And I found that if I would say yes, He could navigate me in a way I would never understand in the middle of it, but it would land me exactly where I needed to be.
I think that the key to success is being authentic. Determine where you want to go based on how you've been appointed and anointed and the gifts that you have.
So the key to success for me is, how do you pull enough people along where it's not just a solo sport, but it's a team effort?
I think the key to success is listening deeply to the people that you want to serve and doing your best to meet that need.
And also being able to wear a Janet Jackson microphone. That is success. If my mom was here, you know, she would be happy.
Ah, yes, Janet Jackson. I'm Kathy Beecham, and good morning. I've been around Crossroads here, part of this community, since about 2000, when there was only one campus, Oakley, and we were down in the school, down across the street. Some of you probably were there at the same time as I. Gosh. Yeah. We'll clap for that. I actually learned what it meant to have a relationship with God through this place, and I actually fell in love with Jesus here. And my husband, Pete, he met God for the first time here. So Crossroads is a pretty special place to me. I actually joined staff 5 years ago, and I get to lead our multi-site ministry. So for whoever is streaming in any part of the country today, big hellos and welcome. Welcome to you. You know, I get to close the series out, Business of Success, and if you've missed any of it, I mean, there are some good stuff there. Remember Chuck in the very first message, he talked about, he defined success for us, and he says, leveraging your life for good and for glory. And then he talked about the what of success was how we're gifted. And he said, if you know the why, then your what has more impact. And then he kind of nervously told us, you know, you could actually want glory too. God actually would like us to have some glory. That's cool. And then Brian, oh my gosh, he took us through some territory over the last few weeks. I mean, business is trading. All business is trading. And all business has struggle, profit, and blessing. And all of that is good. Then he suggested to us maybe Jesus was a builder. And he encouraged us to build something that lasts like Jesus did. And then finally last week, remember, he talked about the importance of knowing how we're gifted and then the power of that by fulfilling our roles in the body. And he asked us all to take the true talent indicator test. Did you do it? Did you do it? How many did? All right, good. Good, good. You found out what you were. If you missed that, you still have a chance. There's how you can get to it, and it's kind of fun to see what that reflects back to you in terms of who you are. So, I'm ending the Business of Success series by talking about success that lasts, success that goes past my lifetime. And I have to admit, I've been thinking about that more and more these days, that's for sure. Success that lasts really comes when I understand and use the gifts that God has given uniquely to me in order to achieve the purposes He has for me in this place and this time. And for me, that looked like building into and growing people. Now, when I was preparing for this message, I always get a little terrified when I get asked to do this. I'm not terrified of delivering the message. What I'm terrified of, and I always ask people to pray for me, I'm terrified that I'm not going to get clarity about what God wants me to say and what message He wants me to deliver to you. So it happened again this time, and I'm preparing before Labor Day, and I am getting nothing. I mean, nada, zip, nothing. I'd start and flat. And so I was going to visit one of my banker friends that used to work for me at U.S. Bank. And oh, I think I forgot to tell you that. Before I worked at Crossroads, I actually worked for U.S. Bank. And I worked there 25 years. I mean, I started at kind of a really small job that really was, it was a pretty small bank at the time. For any of you that are natives, you might remember First National Bank of Cincinnati had a little jingle thing. Yeah, well, that became U.S. Bank, and I joined it then. And then when I left U.S. Bank 25 years later, it was the fifth largest commercial bank in the country. And I had a big job. I had 11,000 people in my group. I had 1,500 locations all across the country. I left when my husband, Pete, got diagnosed with a brain tumor. So, by just about any measure, worldly measure, that is, of success, you know, whether you're thinking influence, status, money, recognition, I've experienced some success. But I didn't start that way, actually. I started out as a high school English teacher. And I can remember the very first year I taught, I made $6,255. That's what I reported to the IRS, and that was right. And I wasn't very good at teaching. I mean, I wasn't, and I hated it. Ugh. So I thought, well, high school doesn't work. Maybe I'll try college. So I did college. That still wasn't right. So I finally got the courage to change careers. And I knew that I wanted to get from teaching into the business world somehow, but, you know, teachers aren't exactly a hot commodity in the business world, right? So I knew I just couldn't make that leap. So I actually started a small consulting practice with the dean of the college where I was working. And we that gave me enough experience with adults that I got hired as a trainer in human resources in business. And then I expanded my role in human resources, and that's actually how I started at the bank. I started in that capacity. And then while I was there, I got an opportunity to actually become a banker, to work in the banking business, and now I'm a pastor. I mean, that's four careers, just about by any count, and there's a few things in between. So, you know, if any of you kind of felt the pain that I felt when I was teaching, you know, where how I was gifted and what job I was in didn't match up, I just want you to take courage, keep on. Don't be discouraged, you know, about maybe having to change careers. Because I mean, think about it. Jesus had at least two, right? He had at least two careers, and he was God. So four, not so bad. If you're under 30, you've probably already had four career changes already. You're going to hit a dozen. I mean, you'll probably hit a dozen by the end. All that to say that I'm with one of the bankers that used to work for me over Labor Day weekend. She lives in St. Louis, she and her husband, so I'm visiting. And, you know, I was figuring over that weekend I wasn't going to get anything really to clarify the message I was going to have to give a month later. But as always, God kind of surprises me, right? So I'm in the guest bedroom of this couple's house, and I wake up. I get woken up like around 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm thinking, I think this might be you, God. I don't really know for sure, but I got this picture, like, in my den in my house, I have this bookcase, and on top of this bookcase are all the awards I've kind of collected. Lots of dust on them all over the years. I mean, there's lots of them. There's like a ton of them. And I got that image, and actually, I packed them up for you. See, they're right here in the suitcase here. So let's see. He kind of brought my attention, you know, to the ones that meant a lot to me, like this one. This one was, I got named the 25th, one of the 25 most powerful women in banking. Huh? Yes, right there. And then, you know, the YWCA has a Career Women of Achievement thing, and, you know, lots of professional women in this city, they kind of covet that award. Well, I got that too, and I had one of those awards that's sitting there. And then United Way, they actually gave me some, like a Living Legacy Award, a clock, right? Yes, just what I needed, a clock. And so that was there. And then, now this one, all these, Pete was around. And this one was really special because we were in New York, Hotel Astoria. I mean, it was a big deal, black tie event, you know, blah, 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 all that stuff. By the time I got this last one, he was gone. This was the Women of the Year Award, actually, from the Enquirer. So very cool. No applause. So God's showing me all these awards. I'm thinking it's God. I'm going, is this you? And he says, I want you to get rid of all those. I go, really, God, you want me to get rid of them all? And I felt this kind of hesitation in my spirit, like my heart kind of goes, ooh, I don't know if I want to, I'm kind of hanging on tight, you know? And I go, I'm aware enough, and I'm going, why am I feeling like this? What makes me feel like this? And you're going to laugh at this. Jacob, my grandson Jacob, he's 6. That's what came into my mind. It's like, I want Jacob to see all this stuff. I want him to know his grandma Kathy was, you know, did good. And then I started laughing. I mean, totally laughing, right? Like, Jacob could care less about this stuff. I mean, this means nothing to him. And obviously, God, I'm having a conversation. It obviously means nothing to you either. And you know what? It really doesn't mean anything to me. I was talking to Lena Schuler, who's our Uptown campus pastor. You may know her. And I was telling her that I got this picture, and I think God wants me to make this part of my message to all of you, but I'm not sure, like, what else to do with it. And she says, Kath, make the connection. It's Jacob. That's your legacy. Not all your accomplishments. I mean, if I define success, if any of us define success by what we just personally achieved, I mean, it's kind of dead, right? It ends up in a suitcase, kind of tired and dusty and over. But if it's the people that you build into, that you influence, that you invest in, well, they live a long time. And they influence people who influence people. And That's success that lasts. So I decided what I wanted to do in this message is actually write a letter to Jacob, my six-year-old grandson, and share that with you. So are you game to listen to my letter? And I want to tell him in this letter, you know, what success really means to me. I want him to know from his grandma Kathy what success is. Now, Jacob, I know that you are still much too young to understand this letter. I mean, one day you're going to be a successful businessman or a scientist or a hockey player or an engineer or a musician or somebody. God's gifted you a lot, I can tell already. And then I hope you're going to read this. But, you know, right now, Kylo Ren is your total focus of attention. And you think a lightsaber can conquer everything. Yes. I don't know if I'm going to live to the time when I'll see you accomplished. I don't know. But when you are, I want you to understand and know some things about me, about your grandma. Now, I know you're going to be told that your grandma Kathy did pretty good. She worked for a bank. She made some money. She had lots of people. She led a lot of people. She traveled everywhere. She was busy all the time, and she always had robberies on Friday afternoons just when we were getting ready to sit down to dinner, which is all true, actually. But Jacob, what you're not going to be told is that working at the bank actually really built my character and matured me. See, God uses work for that. He grows us up in the workplace. And it doesn't really matter what kind of work you do. I mean, one of the purposes of work is for God to grow us up. We learn through mistakes. So, Jacob, I want you to make a lot of mistakes and make them early. But you've got to be listening to Him when you make those mistakes, or you're not going to get the learning. You won't get the truth He wants you to get. Now, when I first joined the bank, I didn't know what I was doing. I acted confident, but I really wasn't. And I wanted to prove, probably to myself more than anything else, that I was good enough. So, man, I worked hard. I made mark of every promotion. I wanted to get promoted faster, earlier than anybody else. I wanted to show I could compete. I wanted to make some money. I wanted to get more and more responsibility. I mean, I was driven. And then the spot opened up in the department where I was in that was the top job, and I really wanted it. And I was considered, and I was turned down. And I was devastated. I mean, I was angry. I was disappointed. I was a 30-something young woman vying for an executive job, so I kind of thought, maybe this is what it's like to be discriminated against. I don't know what. Maybe it was, but I was going to leave. I said, I'm leaving the bank. And something unusual happened to me then. The president of the bank, his name was Sam, he actually invested in me, and he arranged for me to be transferred into another line of business in the bank. And I didn't know anything about this line of business, so I wasn't exactly the top candidate, right, for selection. But he had influence, obviously, and he used his influence to make that move for me. I mean, he believed in me. He didn't want me to leave. He invested in me. He actually sacrificed for me because he put his reputation on the line in making that move for me. And as I reflected on that at the time, I was pretty convicted. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've been so self-absorbed. I mean, I've been driving for what I want. I've been totally focused on promoting myself and moving ahead. And here's the president of the bank who's sacrificing his reputation in order to give me a chance. And I saw, actually, God's character in his action. I thought, that's how God loves us. by people like Sam who give us opportunities. So it ended up I got transferred into the retail bank. The retail bank is where probably 85% of the young people who are going to be bankers start their career. They start them there. And I mean, Jacob, I had thousands of people, young people, working for me. And I was being put in a spot where I could supervise them. I could help them learn. I could help them understand how God had gifted them. I got to grow them. I got to mature them. I mean, lots of them, hundreds of them got promoted actually under my leadership, Jacob. And I took care for them really seriously. In fact, I used to pray for them, Jacob. I'd write their name. By name, I'd write it in my journal, and I'd date it. And then I'd record the things that they wanted me to ask God for them. And you wouldn't believe. I mean, Jacob, hundreds of prayers were answered. I mean, unbelievable. And I saw so many people change and be transformed for the better. So, Jacob, when you think about your Grandma Kathy as a banker, that's the thing. All those people, the people I touched and got to lead, that's the thing I want you to be proud of. That's the thing I want you to remember me for. Now, my story, Jacob, probably shows you that it's important to know your gifts and try to learn them early, find out earlier than I did what they are. Because, see, if you don't use those gifts that you've been given by God, then God's not going to be able to achieve his purposes through you. If you don't have confidence in your gifting, or if you kind of cling on to some profession that you think you ought to be in because, you know, you think there's money there or there's status there, or gosh, your mom and dad want you to go do that thing, then you might frustrate God's purposes. It's important to use your gifts. And I don't want you to worry too much, Jacob, about what profession you choose, because, I mean, God values every profession. That's amazing. I mean, he's designed the world in such a way that businesses and all the professions within businesses tend to be the way that God cares for us and provides for us. And every role is important. So, like, you like salmon. I mean, that's your favorite food. You can tell your parents have trained you well if you like salmon as a six-year-old, but you do. And, you know, the salmon that you get at your house is caught by the salmon fishermen. And the boaters that take those salmon fishermen out to get that salmon. And then there's the packagers and processors of that salmon once it's been caught. And then it's either trucked or flown, so you've got truckers and pilots that are getting that salmon to go to another business, actually a grocer, to allow you to get Alaskan salmon right next to your house whenever you want it. Now, God is good, huh? God is good. I mean, every one of those roles, every one of those professions is important. That's how God loves on us. So what you decide to do doesn't matter as much as using your gifts, and then whatever it is you do, do it really, really, really well. Because that's the way God's purposes get achieved and his people get served and loved on. Now, you might even get a chance to show us a new way that God loves us. That's what entrepreneurs do, right? They create things we didn't even need. They act almost like God. They get to create like he does. So go big, dream. Jacob, you might like develop a new app. You love games. I mean, crazy Angry Birds, you know, like go develop a new game, just yours. And in that way, find a new way God can love us and provide for us. But I want you to remember always the why behind the what of what you do. The why is not promoting yourself or advancing yourself. It's about accomplishing God's purposes through you. Because, Jacob, when those purposes aren't your focus, business can sometimes go really, really bad. I mean, you can end up using people, not serving them, and they can end up getting hurt, and they're getting hurt because of you. There's actually a story in the Bible. And you probably remember it because it's in your storybook Bible. There's a picture of it, of this big tower that's placed. Yeah, there it is. It's a big, big tower. It's the Tower of Babel. And it is the highest skyscraper ever built by us, by humans. And I always kind of wondered why God wasn't happy about, you know, his builders, these guys building this great skyscraper, the first time, they were the first developers, actually, and they were doing it in his biggest, most beautiful city at the time, which was called Babylon, and God wasn't happy. So I want you to read this. In fact, I'll read this to you, Jacob, just so that you understand now why God wasn't happy. This is what it says in Genesis 11. It says, now the whole earth had one language, so everybody was happy, and they used the same words. They could communicate. And then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone, and that big word actually just means glue for mortar. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves. A name for ourselves, Jacob. That's why God was upset with them. He didn't make them great builders so they could make a name for themselves. And so he confused them. They ended up not being able to understand each other anymore. And they ended up having to leave the tower, the big skyscraper they built, and the beautiful city that they built because they couldn't understand each other. Now, Jacob, there is a PS to this story. Actually, when Jesus came, he reversed the effects of the Tower of Babel. And he came, it was after he died when it happened, actually, and all his team, his disciples, were all gathered together. It was during one of those big festivals, Jewish festivals called Pentecost, and thousands of people from all over the world who spoke all different languages were all coming into Jerusalem. Well, Jesus sent his spirit into his team, and they began talking about Jesus, about who he was and how he had died for them and how he saved them, how he rose from the dead. And the amazing thing was every person from all over the world who all spoke a different language, they all heard that message in their language, even though the disciples couldn't speak more than one. So Jacob, when you get the why right, then, great. Great things happen. Great things happen. Now, Jacob, you're going to hear something else. Probably this is going to come from your Uncle Mike. He's going to tell you that when your Grandpa Pete got sick, two careers got ruined, both your grandpa's and mine. And I want you to know that's not true. I mean, leaving the bank to care for your Grandpa Pete was actually the easiest decision I ever made. I mean, the chance to serve him and to love him, to give back to him a little bit of all the love he had given to me all the years we were married, oh my gosh, that was a pretty easy decision to make. And it was actually a great time for me. It was special. I mean, I learned more about myself in those couple years that I cared for your grandpa than I had ever learned. And God, I mean, Jacob, God pulled me so close to him. I mean, closer than I had ever been before. And I got to experience God in a new way. Now, sometimes you're going to work and you're not going to get paid for that work. But it's still work and it still has value. Because, see, God's purposes are still being filled through you. And that's how it was when I took care of your grandpa. I mean, I wasn't getting paid, but it was the most important job I've probably ever done. My career, it wasn't ruined, Jacob. It was just changed. And, Jacob, I did my unpaid job. I did it really, really, really well. And hey, you know what? Your mom has done the same thing. She's done it really well, too. And the last thing I want to share with you Jacob, is that it might be a little confusing that after your grandpa died, I went back to work. I'm actually getting paid again. Now, I'm not getting paid very much because I'm working for a church, so, you know. But I want you to know something. I want you to know that working for a church doesn't mean that I'm doing something more valuable to God because I'm doing something spiritual than when I was working for the bank. God's purposes can get done anywhere. And in fact, most of the time, they get done better in business than they ever get done in the church. So sometimes I have people that come up to me. I mean, two of my friends I can think of right away, Kay and Jane, and they're both CEOs, and they both come to Crossroads, and they met Jesus here just like I did. And they said to me, I want to start doing something now. And I'm going, maybe I should go be a missionary or go into seminary or like go work for Crossroads. And I go, no, don't do that. I mean, you want to advance the kingdom as a CEO? Who's going to influence other CEOs better than you? Not some staffer that works for a church, let me tell you. So stay where you are. And you run a company? Well, guess what? Be more intentional. You want to change the culture that we live in and you want to make it look more like the kingdom? Well, be more intentional about who your company sponsors. And heck, you might even get a chance to sponsor some celebrity who doesn't know Jesus, and you might be able to pray for them, and you might even be able to get to introduce them to Jesus, and their lives may get transformed, and then think about the impact you can have on the culture. A whole lot more than working for some church or going on a mission. God works through people in the business world. And Jacob, I never want you to think that because I'm ending my career working for a church that somehow it's more valued. What I do want you to think, though, is that I've got, your grandma now has an unbelievable opportunity because I get to invite, I get to serve, and I get to grow people who God brings to me in ways that I never thought I could do that. And that is awesome, Jacob. You know, retirement's never really in the Bible. God never says, like, okay, now you can go retire. He doesn't really say that. He still has meaningful work for me to do. Whether I get paid for that or whether I don't. So, Jacob, you've heard a lot of things that are on my heart. I love the chance to serve his people and the way he's using me now. And I love to thank him and praise him for everything he's ever given to me. And my hope for you is that you too will end up praising him with all that you're going to accomplish. Because you are a gifted child. And I love you very much. Your grandma, Kathy. You guys are sweet. Thanks for being patient with me and listening to my conversation and letter to Jacob. You know, if success could be defined as your personal accomplishments, everything you achieve, probably some folks in this room, I know a few of you here, I mean, you'd have a lot bigger suitcases than I ever had to put all the things that you've achieved in them and what they represent. But you know what? Achieving isn't what's in this box, right? When I met Jesus, he changed me. And it probably happened about halfway through my banking career because I thought, okay, here's a king, right? I mean, a real king. I mean, somebody who really has money, wealth, abundance, recognition, status, honor, glory, everything possible. And he gave all that up. I mean, there's a song we sing here that has a line in it that I've always really liked. It says, what other king leaves his throne? What other king leaves his throne? None. You, Jesus. You left everything you had. You came here. You accepted all the limits of our human condition, and then you died for us in an excruciating and publicly humiliated way. I mean, you had all the possible gifts God could ever give somebody. You had them. And to achieve your Father's purposes, you gave it all up. Your Father's purposes were all about saving me and you, and you gave up all your gifts, Jesus, to serve us. Talk about success that lasts. And we're still following him 2,000 years later, right? So what Jesus showed me and helped me understand in my journey is that it's not about what's in the suitcase. It's actually about inviting everybody that God brings into my world to embrace and know everything I have ever learned about who Jesus is, how he loves me, and how I can experience him. This is what lives on. These are all the people that I've touched over the years that will then touch other people who will then touch other people. And that's what success to last is. So, thank you. So ask yourself this question. You know, who in your world is God nudging you to invite? And invite them to embrace the same things that you might know or the same journey you're on. Is it your kids? Is it your neighbors? Is it your employees? Is it your friends? Is it people that you're connected to professionally? Who are they? Just take a moment and think about that. And then let's pray. God, I ask that you give to every person in this room and everybody that's watching in any of our other anywhere sites that you would give them clarity about just how you uniquely have gifted them and what your purposes are for them, what you want to get achieved through their using your unique gifts. We ask that you bring to mind people that you want them to invest in to build a legacy that will affect them as well as all of the people that they touch. And Lord, we ask that you give that clarity and you give us the courage to follow you in building success that lasts for a long, long time. And we ask this in the King's name, who showed us who he was, who built success that lasts, that we're still following today. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Kathy.
Yeah.
Let's sing this chorus before we head out, all right?
You're worthy of it all.
Do you guys stand?
You're worthy of it all.
For from you are all things.
For from you are all things. To you are all things.
You deserve.
You deserve the glory.
All right, guys, have a great week. If you're new, we'd love to see you at Context Live back in Meeting Room B. Have a great one.